Is this on? Hello? Hello?
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?
The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his word. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the other. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strip of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
All righty. Well, greetings and good morning to you on this Easter Sunday. Thank you for taking the time to join with us as we celebrate the heart of the Christian faith. Before we go any further, can I just say how lucky are we that we have young people in our church? They're able to come and eat all my chocolate, save me from my diet. Actually, I just noticed something. Someone stole the rest of my Easter egg. It did call out to Jim. Oh. But girls, I also want to thank you for leading us with that Bible reading this morning. You guys are absolutely fantastic, and you are a joy to have in this church. But I want to talk to you today about the specialness of today. We talked about on Friday how we feel sad, but today is a day that we feel happy. Do you know, I think Good Friday and Easter Sunday are more important to me than even my birthday, than Christmas, than April Fool's Day. Nobody likes April Fool's Day? Okay, that's fine. These 2 days, the death and the resurrection of Christ, they're so important for so much. They're integral to our Christian faith. Now, I've noticed something though. Sometimes we like to set up camp. Sometimes we are people that are all about the cross. We're all about his death, his sacrifice. And then there are others who are less on the cross and more on the resurrection, the new life, the restoration. Today I want us to focus on being people who are both about the death and the resurrection. Paul focuses on in Corinthians on preaching Christ crucified and resurrected. And that's where I want us to be. The cross, after all, is that picture of Jesus' sacrifice, but also the reconciliation act between us and God. It's what we as Christians hold on to. It's what we celebrate, Jesus' death and resurrection. As we said, we can focus purely on one or the other, but we need both. It's why today should be one of the most important days for you if you are a believer. But Paul writes this to the Corinthians. And he writes how Christ's resurrection is needed. It's important. The word of Paul's. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Jesus didn't come alive, our preaching, our witnessing is meaningless. In fact, we would simply be liars. We testify, don't we, about Jesus rising from the dead. And if he hasn't, well, that means we are what? Asleep still. No, lying. We're lying if he did not rise from the dead. If we are guilty of lying, then we are guilty of probably the worst sin possible, and that's taking people away from God. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says that actually, if Christ wasn't raised, even those people who are after God, looking for him in other places, they're dead too. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then those who have passed already are dead to God. They can't be raised. They can't be restored. In Corinthians 15, 12 to 19, Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. We are still in our sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If we only have this life to hope in Christ, we then should be pitied most of all." Paul illustrates that it is essential for our faith that Jesus rose from the dead. And he does this by pointing out what it means if the resurrection had never occurred. If the resurrection had never occurred, then Jesus died in vain and he is not who he said he was. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus said things like, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. The Father and I are one." Jesus said, "I am the way." In John 11, 25, Jesus says, "Not only is he the way, that he is the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die." In this, Jesus is telling us the source of life is resurrection. As one theologian put it, all of God's sovereignty is mediated through Christ. And it hinges on his power over death in his resurrection. Without Christ, there is no resurrection for us. There is no conquering of death. Everything hangs on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we need to be people not just focused on the death, not just focused on the cross. We need to be people focused on everything, because it is the story of triumph over death. It is the hope of eternal life in those words. But there's more. The Bible and the Old Testament gives us many prophecies about this coming Messiah. And it wasn't just what sort of person he would be, but rather it included passages like this in Psalm 16, passages that predict a resurrection. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Or we could look at Psalm 118. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. These passages are telling us that the Messiah would come and he would die and he would give us life and we would live. Or we could even go to Job. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in a rock forever. I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. After my body has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him myself with my own eyes. And not another. My heart yearns within me. But this isn't a retrospective look back, let's try and make it fit into the passage, let's make Jesus' story fit into what these guys were saying. Jesus himself even said this in Matthew's gospel. We see that Jesus says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. Hey, that's Palm Sunday there, where he's talking about. We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. That's his arrest. They will condemn me to death. That's his trial. They'll hand me over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged. He was handed over to the Romans and crucified. And on the third day, he will rise to life. This is what Jesus says before all of this happens. He knows that the resurrection is coming. The resurrection is the exclamation mark on the entire of Christ's ministry. Man, we talk about this in Scripture. We've been doing a little segment on who is Jesus. And we've talked about how Jesus was a great teacher. He said things that were incredibly wise. We said Jesus has done some marvelous things like miracles, healing the sick, calming the storm. And we talked about the resurrection. And our hope and our goal was to let the kids see that if he came back to life, then there has to be something more about him. If not, Jesus is either a liar or a lunatic. Paul even calls it out. He says, Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are false witnesses. As we read through the events after the resurrection, we see multiple passages where Jesus appeared to different people after his death. He appeared to the women at the tomb. He appeared to Peter at the tomb, and then the 10 disciples, and then the 500 locked up in a room with the doors closed. And the point of those passages was when that passage was written, you could actually go and find these people. You could knock on their door and say, John, you were there. Did you see Jesus? And John would say, well, yes, I did. It's critical to note that most of the people he appeared to were alive when these things was written. And as his story was circulated, it meant that they could either corroborate or deny this story. And if they didn't, if Jesus didn't come back, and if the apostles were liars, then we are part of the most elaborate conspiracy in history. Forget 5G and COVID vaccines. Every single person had to be in on the hoax. They had to stick to the story, even when people threatened them with death. Even if they denied, even if their denial would save them from execution. And history tells us that out of the 11 disciples left at the resurrection, all but one was put to death for saying Jesus had come alive again, that he was resurrected and he was living now. But it gets worse. If Jesus doesn't come back from the dead, then we are all stuck in our sins. There is nothing that we can do to overcome that gap. Paul directly makes a connection between the resurrection of Jesus and how his death is the payment, the atonement for what we have done wrong. If we are still in our wrongs, if we are still in our sins, then you and I are still under condemnation. We are still separated from God, and we are most certainly guilty. But when Jesus rose on the third day, it was a public announcement. It was like the shiny paper on the Easter egg that God was satisfied with the sacrificial death of his sons. We read it in Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Christ took our sin and he paid for it. If he didn't, Paul's right. He paints a very depressing picture for us of a resurrectionless faith. If Jesus didn't come back, then all those thousands and millions of people who have fallen asleep in Christ, those two are lost forever. Man, I can't imagine life where we spend it trying to understand and discover God more, and then when we die, it is simply the end. Death isn't the final word for us. See, if Christ came back from back to life, if he was resurrected, if Christ conquered death, and if we're in Christ, we will conquer death too. Paul goes on to explain in Corinthians, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all dies, so in Christ all will be made alive. Man, that's the good news. In Christ, we're made alive. That's what the bright, shiny cross is about today. It's joy. It's happiness. Otherwise, Paul's last words in this passage are completely compelling. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, then we of all people should be pitied. If life ends at the grave, the things Jesus even asks from us don't make a lot of sense. If our life ends at the grave, why should we love our enemies? Why should we even try and become living sacrifices? If death is the end, life has no ultimate significance. We can't trust that our existence offers any real meaning, mercy, or justice. I've told you about a friend that I've had who sent me a message. He said, "Daryl, I don't know how you can do it. With all the suffering and pain in this world, how can you believe in a God that loves us?" And I said, if that's the case, if the world is full of suffering, and if we know better, if we desire better, and we haven't been able to do it yet, surely there's got to be something that's going to come that fills those inner desires for us. If Christ is raised from the dead, this life is only the beginning. The resurrection becomes a vow. It becomes a promise that our eternal existence will be in the presence of God who created us. My friends, the empty tomb isn't for us to be pitied. It's that we should be envied. Man, we get to live forever and we don't have to be bitten by a vampire. We get to be in the presence of God, not just now and here, but for eternity. Every year on Good Friday, I feel the weight of what Christ has done. I feel ashamed. As the song says, that my mocking voice would be out crying with the scoffers. I feel that pain because I needed him. But today I rejoice. For what, though I am living, I was dead. But through Christ, his death, his resurrection, we are all made alive. Isn't that worth rejoicing about? That we were once dead, but Christ has made us alive. Do you get that? The excitement, the joy? Man, that should be sweeter to you than chocolate, or gluten-free chocolate, or dark chocolate, or white chocolate, or lollipops, or insert my favorite brand of lolly here. This is good news. This is joyous news. So today we celebrate. We are joyful. Okay, let's try that again. We are joyful. Yes. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the cross wasn't the end of your story. Lord, we thank you that the cross is that symbol, that reminder that you have paid the price for us, that you have atoned us. You have made us in right relationship with God. But Father, we also thank you for your Son's resurrection, this promise of eternal life, the resurrection, the first fruits of a coming harvest. So, Father, we pray, Lord, help us. Help us to be joyful and to celebrate today, for you have risen. You have conquered sin and death. So, Father, we thank you that you loved us before we could love you, that you made things right even though we couldn't, and that you accept us just the way we are. Amen. I'd like to invite the music team to come and to lead us again.